Welcome to the Living in Better and Longer podcast. This is Justin Moore, President and CEO of the Area Office on Aging in Northwestern Ohio. I'd like to welcome today our first guest, honored to have Mrs. Billy Johnson, somebody who's a legend in the Toledo, Ohio area, as well as in the field of aging nationally. Welcome, Mrs. Johnson.
Thank you, Justin. It's a pleasure to be here. Let me say, first of all, congratulations on being appointed the new president and CEO of the Area Office on Aging. I commend the board of directors for making that decision. As you know, I am so proud of you, and best of luck and good wishes.
Thank you. And for those that you might not know, Mrs. Johnson is a longtime mentor of mine. My 20 years at the Area Office on Aging, she far surpassed that, spending 49 and a half years in the field of aging. So we are very fortunate today, I think, our listeners, to be able to have a legend in the field of aging sharing a little expertise on this whole topic of retirement and reimagining retirement. And I think we're hoping that this field of aging expert, Mrs. Johnson, can share a little insight that might be beneficial on kind of what retirement means, you know, how that idea of retirement has changed over time, what things can be done to really make sure the most is made of retirement. So along those lines, if you could kind of take us back and help us understand kind of how your view of retirement got shaped at maybe a young age with your grandmothers and the role that they played in your life.
Well, you know, my grandmothers reared me, and I was fortunate to benefit from their wisdom and their challenges, because it helped me understand what was ahead in the future. We're looking at over nearly 50 years, 55 years ago, when I was being reared by my grandmothers, and I listened to their stories, and retirement was not in their vocabulary. At that time, growing up in a small rural town in Kentucky, my grandmothers worked each day, and they didn't have the opportunity to retire. They worked right up until they passed away. So my view of retirement was so different when I was growing up. But when I actually moved into the field of aging in the early 70s, retirement was something that people were talking about at 50 years of age and 55. And retirement during those early years is so different than retirement today. The challenges are different. The benefits and the opportunities are so different. And certainly with people living so long, so much longer, retirement is not something that a lot of people are looking forward to. They're trying to, and even if they retire for 6 months or a year, and then they retire from retirement and look at other opportunities and careers because they are living so much longer.
So when you hear the term retirement, what comes to mind for you?
The first word that comes to mind is freedom. You don't have to get up anymore at the early crack of dawn and go to work. And although my work was and still is a calling, I have always been an advocate for older adults, and I have cherished the opportunity to work in this field of aging. It's been a blessing. So for me, the freedom part was not having to get up so early in the morning. As you know, Justin, I like to get up at 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning, answer my emails, set my day, and then come in to work, and then work to 6 and 7 o'clock in the evening. So that's not really work. That's a passion that you have and a commitment that you have to try to make life better for the ones that you love and who have given you this wonderful opportunity to serve them.
Did you ever have the thought go through your mind throughout your career, I never want to retire? Is that a thought that ever went through your mind?
Well, I tell you, It did. And but let me explain. I have so much energy, and I had so many things I wanted to get done. I just ran out of time. I looked up one day, and I was a senior citizen, and I thought, it's time for me to go. So in my 70-plus years, actually, I'm 79, so it's been a blessing for me. But I kept thinking, there's so many more things I wanted to do. I wanted to touch and make life better for the older adults whose voices are not heard by the general public and by society. I wanted to make housing a priority for them. Shelter is so important, and good shelter, and affordable shelter. I wanted to address some of the needs in food insecurity, and just a myriad of services, benefits, and opportunities that I felt I wanted to continue to do. But I realized that I had groomed you and other vice presidents at the Area Office on Aging who could continue to take this vision that I had for improving the life and status of older adults to the next level. So in retirement, you know, as you contemplate retirement, you have to say to yourself, let me really benefit from knowing when to retire and know when to pass the mantle. And you just run out of time and you run out of energy. So when that happens, you say, let me address this by moving to another area. I will never retire from wanting to help seniors and for being an advocate for seniors. But you have to move on to your next project and your next level and allow the individuals that you have worked with and groomed to take your vision and your commitments to other levels.
Was there an epiphany kind of moment when you said, okay, I think it's getting close to time to retire, or I'm getting ready to retire? Or was it kind of a gradual thing that came to clarity over time?
Actually, I'd been trying to retire for the last 20 years. And most of the people who know me, at least who work in the field of aging, have heard me say, in fact, it became a joke. Billy says she's going to retire, but she's never going to retire. I wanted to retire, Justin, but the thing about it is I kept finding other areas that needed my assistance. And I'm not the only one that these visions and could be creative, but I've been given a gift, and I know it's been a gift. And I'm a strong woman of faith, and I know it didn't come by accident. So it was important for me to stay and fulfill these gifts and these visions that I had about how to make life better for older adults. So for every decade, the last two decades for sure, I kept seeing to Henry, just give me one more year and I will retire. And fortunately, he was very patient, and my family has been very patient. They've always been there, supportive of me to continue to give back as much as I wanted to give back. But I must say that the last year before I retired, in at the end of 2022, when I announced my retirement to my board of directors, I thought, am I doing the right thing? Is it really time for me to go? Or should I go another year? And I decided that there was no reason to go another year at the Area Office on Aging, that I had groomed some tremendous experts, individuals, my vice presidents, who were all capable of extraordinary leadership and abilities. So it was time for me to go.
When you had finally made that decision that it was time to go, it must have been kind of an emotional roller coaster from that decision point to the time that you actually retired. Can you talk a little bit about what the emotions were like or what the thinking was like during that time period?
Actually, it was like a breath of fresh air when I actually said the words and wrote my letter of resignation and retirement to the board of directors. I felt as if a weight had been lifted, that there was somebody else now who needed to pick up that mantle and be a good steward for senior citizens and for caregivers and persons with disabilities. So it was a joyful moment, and I could relax and watch others demonstrate their leadership and their abilities to take up that mantle and take it forward and serve older adults probably in a better way than I, because older adults have changed since I started nearly 50 years ago. So there's a new breed of older adults, new needs, new opportunities for them. So you need young, middle-aged individuals and young people to provide those services and those resources. I did what I did when I did it, and it was appropriate, and it was great, and I had wonderful successes. But I also know that the leadership at the Area Office on Aging now have new challenges and new opportunities as well. So I know they're well positioned and well qualified, and I'm just delighted that you are at the helm, that you can direct that those other leaders at the Area Office on Aging. We have one of the best staff in Ohio and maybe even in the country. And what I'm seeing is they're all so dedicated, and it takes dedication to work in these fields. You certainly don't make a lot of money, but you have the opportunity to change lives, and you impact people who will probably never know your name, but you have the resources, the skills, and the abilities to move those needles.
Can you talk a little bit about those? Some of the listeners might be contemplating retirement. What steps you took to prepare for retirement, whether it be financially or whether it be just making sure that the work that has been your life's dedication continues on to be successful, or other factors that you did in preparing for retirement?
Well, one thing that is a extreme concern to me is that we don't start early enough preparing for retirement. And what I mean by that is we do not think that life is going to change for us. We think we can just go on as we have been. But we seriously have to look at our expenses and our income in retirement, look at the financial pieces. But in addition to that, we have to acknowledge that life will change for us. Many of our friends who we grew up with, they are retiring, and some have even passed away. So you just emotionally have to prepare as well as financially. The one bit of advice that I would give to people is to start early. Start in your 40s, if not even earlier, preparing for retirement. Most folk think that Social Security and Medicare will sustain them. It will not. If you've got a good pension, it won't really sustain you and sustain the lifestyle that you've become accustomed to in your work. That's for most people. For individuals who are extremely marginalized and low income, there are a myriad of resources that can help them in retirement. For those who make a lot of money and have a lot of money, they don't need to think about the income and the expenses piece of retirement. Susan Orman, if you haven't read her book about retirement, get it and read it. She gives such great advice about retirement. And the last point I want to make is get a good financial planner who can help you. Can help you with your wills, with your trusts that you need to set up early, and just help you look at your expenses in general.
I heard about a study that was done about financially preparing for retirement a while ago, and they had two groups. The first group, they just encouraged them, gave them general information about the importance of saving for retirement and the like. The second group, they actually showed them, took a picture of themselves and showed themselves what they would look like when they were retirement age. The second group saved way more money than the first group, and they found out in talking to the first group that they actually viewed giving money toward their retirement and their future self as giving money to a complete stranger. That was this completely separate person than them. And it wasn't until the second group saw the picture of what they would look like as an older adult or when they hit age 65 that they understood and made the connection in their mind that I'm actually giving money to my future self. What do you think, and the difference between saving, you know, 2% of your income to 10% is the difference between, you know, to your point of struggling in retirement to financially cover all expenses and the like, or being set up for success and having a really enjoyable retirement. Any comments you have on that, the importance of making sure that individuals make that sometimes tough decision to save more of their income in kind of their middle age years and what you wish you would have known maybe when you started off in your career about saving for retirement?
Well, I have several points to make about that. First of all, most people have such a misunderstanding about Medicare and Medicaid, Social Security. I want to, if nobody remembers anything else I say, I want to say that the first thing you do is try to not prematurely tap into your Social Security. Let that mature and as long as possible. I happen to go a little longer in that at least wait until you're 70 years old before you start to draw down your Social Security. I waited till 79 to really and I let it mature, and I continue to work and pay into Social Security. So that's one thing that I want to strongly encourage. The second thing is this thing about savings. Most folk think that my 401 or my 403B will sustain me, and if I got a little pension, if my company offered a little pension, that will sustain me. The mere fact is you lose about anywhere from 30 to 35 or maybe 40% of your income as you retire. So you don't make the same salary that you made as you were working. So you have to plan for that. And the earlier you start to plan and set aside resources, the more pleasant your retirement will be. You're going to be living on a different lifestyle if you're middle income, and most of us are. So you have to plan for your expenses, and you'll be on a fixed income, and your leisure and your recreation and your socialization might change. But the fact is, we all have to go to the grocery store, and we all have to pay our utilities. So you have to factor in all of the different elements of your expenses in retirement. So the earlier you start to plan and set aside, and I can't stress enough how important it is to have a good financial planner, someone that you trust. If you don't get a good financial planner, get a good CPA or a good attorney who can help you, because those are professions that can help as well.
So percentage-wise, I've heard several financial planners talk about 70% of your income is what you should plan on living off of. It's 70% of your normal middle-age kind of income that is what you should shoot for as a goal to have in retirement. Have you heard something similar or different as a goal percentage-wise?
Oh, absolutely. And that's why I say you lose about anywhere from 30 to 35% of your revenue that comes into your household when you retire. So the 70% is absolutely on target, if not a little less. So that's why you have to plan and you have to set aside those resources. Plus, if you want to enjoy life in retirement and do a little travel and give good gifts to your grandkids, you want to have that extra revenue and you want to have sufficient revenue to maintain your lifestyle, but also to help those of your loved ones as well.
One of the things you touched on was working longer than maybe you had initially planned. There's a presentation at Toledo Rotary by Lieutenant Governor John Husted recently, and he talked about two things that were not connected in his presentation, but there's a clear connection in my mind. The first was that when you look at the population in the state of Ohio in five-year age increments, the largest number of individuals are in the age 60 to 64 age range. The second point he made was that when trying to attract employers to Ohio, the biggest challenge is workforce. And, you know, the state of Ohio, and I think many states, have placed a lot of emphasis on trying to attract younger workers to move to Ohio, or maybe boomerang, you know, people that grew up in Ohio, went away to college and work, and for them to come back to Ohio. But to me, I think that the missing piece is that our solution in many ways is right in front of our face, right? That this 60 to 64 age demographic is likely the solution to some of our workforce problems, mm-hmm. right? And I think that sometimes there's some ageism that creeps into our culture and our society that results in us overlooking older adults as potentially a solution to our workforce issues. Particularly when two stats come to mind. There's one that talks about how roughly half of older adults view age discrimination as a barrier to finding a job when they're looking for a job. And the second is that 76% of older workers feel like they have been pushed out of long-time jobs, and that 90% of them never get a job that pays anywhere near what they were making before. So I think that there is certainly an opportunity from my perspective to invest and find ways to make help older adults with maybe retooling, right? If they have had a long career in one industry, but they are looking for an encore career in a different kind of field, how do we go about helping them getting the additional education, higher education, so on and so forth, so that they are really set up for success and meeting some of these urgent workforce issues that the state of Ohio and many parts of the nation are facing. Any comments you have on that, the working longer?
Well, I think you're absolutely correct that one of the things the various industries in this country have overlooked is the potential and the powerful resource of older adults. Once someone retires, and I always say, we get a little rest after we retire, and then we should retire from retirement. And if it means going back into the workforce or in places that we really love, given of ourselves, and making a contribution to society, that we should do that. And if you happen to get paid for it, that's all the better. But if it also, you can volunteer. So you need to not just sit at home and think that travel's going to be the panacea to everything. You really should, if you have great skills and abilities and knowledge, reinvest that knowledge into our society. The workforce shortage came about for a lot of different reasons. And after we hit the pandemic in 2020, you know, we just saw a change in the workforce. Many families decided that it was important for them to have only one worker and have the spouse to stay home and raise the children. Many individuals felt that this whole pandemic and was exposing their children and families, and so they decided not to go back into the workforce. And of course, you know, the other, a large segment decided that we'll stay in the workforce if we can work from home. And so a lot of individuals decided to do that. But I think we, the missing piece in our puzzle is that we need to look at the resources of older adults and invest in them and make it possible for older adults to have a second career and even a third career. The universities really acknowledged and took the lead in all of this and set up lifelong learning programs. So it's not as if you have to rely on old skills and abilities. There are institutions of higher ed who will teach older adults new skills. And in Ohio, we were blessed to have legislation that passed that allowed people 65 years of age to go back to school free of charge and learn a new skill. So I just think we are missing this as a society and missing that piece that could help us with our manpower issues or our human power issues in the workforce by not looking seriously at the resources that older adults can provide.
So what would you say to somebody that has this view in our culture that's pretty common, that older adults are just people who need help and fail to realize that older adults are people who can help and meeting some of our society or our community's greatest needs and challenges?
Well, I think the baby boomers are going to change that perception pretty quickly. And in many instances, they already have. I'm a pre-baby boomer, and certainly that stereotype doesn't apply to me and doesn't apply to many of the older adults who I know. They don't need help. They want to give back to society. So we've got to find ways to involve them in giving back to society.
So you've mentioned that both your husband and you have retired, friends, family members have retired, and others that you know. Have you noticed with the different demographic, any demographic changes, whether it be gender, socioeconomic, race, otherwise, differences on how people's experience with retirement has been? So, for example, just to throw one out there, and one anecdotally that I've seen with those individuals, some of the individuals I've communicated with, is that with the gender piece, that men sometimes have a more of an identity crisis when it comes to retirement. And I'm just thinking about when I introduce myself to people, you know, a lot of times people ask what you do for the living, at least of me, and right, wrong, or indifferent, less so of my wife in a social situation. So I'm thinking through and hearing in some conversations with some people I talk to that have retired that if I'm no longer doing X, then who am I, right? If I'm no longer an accountant, a lawyer, a banker, whatever, then who am I now that I'm retired? So any comments you have on kind of different demographics and individuals that you've talked to anecdotally and kind of different experiences of retirement that you think they've had?
Well, you're making some great points, and work has become so pervasive in our lives, and our titles are pervasive in where we work and what we're doing. And so when we no longer have those titles and those workspaces, some people have somewhat of an identity crisis. It's like, who am I? Am I worthy? What am I worthy of doing anymore? One thing I think could help all of us, and this is not a new revelation, but we really need to spend more time on pre-retirement planning in this country. In my early career, we had a wonderful program at the Area Office on Aging that we worked with the various corporations here in Toledo, and we worked with their human resources departments and spent, I think, a six-week period helping the pre-retirees at those companies get ready for retirement so that they could see what other opportunities were available that they didn't have to disassociate from what they perceived to be their worthiness and that their contributions, that they could reinvest those contributions and that worthiness into other dimensions. So I think that we just need to refocus, step back, and I'm hopeful that the Area Office on Aging will take a leadership in some of this pre-retirement planning. The experts are right here in our area, the financial planners, the CPAs, the attorneys, and other experts in the field of aging who are willing to invest the time to help people become better prepared for retirement. And so instead of retiring from something, they can think about second careers, third careers, and retire to something.
So I'm 45. Individuals that are, you know, kind of middle-aged like me or some of our listeners, what do you wish you would have known in your middle-age years that you know now as a recent retiree about retirement?
I tell you what scares me. Inflation. The thing that I didn't know in my early 40s is what inflation would look like. There's so many other elements that impact on your success in retirement, your financial success, your socialization success, your any number of factors. So I wish I had a crystal ball and would known how expensive it was going to be when I hit 79 years of age. My husband and I were very blessed, though. We had good pensions. The nonprofits' pensions are not as good as the higher education pensions. We saved some resources, and we were able to maintain a lifestyle that we're comfortable with. Many older adults are not that fortunate. So I say to young people now, start early again. Set aside resources in addition to what you're going to get from your company or in your 401 or your 403B. Make sure that you are well educated on what opportunities you have for saving your money and investing, and stay on top of if it's the stock market or whatever you want to invest in and feel comfortable investing in, make sure you have some experts who are helping you, and just don't go off on your own trying to put all of this together. Tap into the resources that are right here in our community. There are financial planners who, really highly qualified ones, who are willing to not only have you hire them, but they will volunteer their services to better educate people about this. We happen to have one on our board of directors, and I know he is known for giving of his resources and his knowledge.
So for some listeners, there may be a fear of the unknown when they're contemplating retirement. They don't know what retirement will look like. I'm sure a question you've been asked many times over the last 10 months or so since you've been retired is, what is retirement like, or how has retirement been? What are your thoughts? I realize you're kind of early on into retirement and maybe still during that honeymoon phase that you had referred to. What's your experience been like with retirement thus far?
I'm still trying to get used to it. That's the first thing. Actually, I think it's been wonderful. I was somewhat frightened by the fact that I wouldn't be able to retire successfully, that I would not know what to do with myself because I've always been so active, so independent, always wanting to give. And, you know, that wasn't the case at all. Some of my friends told me, you're going to really enjoy retirement. I'm really enjoying having Henry bring me a cup of coffee in the morning and being able to roll back over and go back to sleep. But, you know, I'll never retire, as I said earlier, from being an advocate for older adults. So it has given me new freedoms. And I mentioned the word freedom before. I can spend time now reading the books that I want to read, preparing myself for other challenges, building my knowledge, my skill base. I didn't have time to even read my magazines before. So now I do, and I have time to visit with my girlfriends, and I really get so much wisdom from. I have several girlfriends, my 100 sisters, my Link sisters, and just my other independent girlfriends who share their leadership skills to me. You never stop growing. You shouldn't. And I've never been one to want to stop growing. So I find these wonderful challenges. And I'm just newly into retirement, but I'm finding also how to say no to people for things that I really don't want to do, but I have to be nice and polite about it. But there are certain things that you should not do, and you should not just try to split yourself in so many different directions that you're not focused on what it is that you can contribute to make life better for others. We're given such a small time here on this earth, and most of us want to leave an impact and a lasting legacy. And the way to do that is to be really focused and concentrate on what your skill set is so that you can make those contributions. And that's what I think I'm trying to do in these few months that I've been retired. I promised myself early on that I would give myself at least a year before I really would make a final determination about what that second career would look like. So I've been doing most of that, but as I said earlier, my first career will always be services to older adults and for persons who have disabilities.
If you had the power to be able to change the way retirement is viewed, approached, and the like in our country or in Northwest Ohio, what would reimagining aging look like, or reimagining retirement look like for you?
Well, the first thing I would do is get people who are in high positions, industries, and companies to reinvest in their workforce, not just their retired workforce, but their older workforce. There is so much wisdom in many of the companies, the corporations, and the businesses. And when it comes time for people to retire, we kind of just push them all out, and we don't really tap into their wisdom and their abilities and find ways to make sure that they stay connected. And that could mean a variety of things. That could mean mentoring your younger workforce. It could mean some part-time assistance to your younger workforce. I'm not proposing or a proponent of keeping people in jobs just to keep them in jobs, but older adults. But there are older workers who really are just so knowledgeable about their profession that you don't want to lose that talent and those resources. You shouldn't. But I think we're going to have to better educate our corporate sector and our industries and many of our businesses about this. One organization that I think could really help with this and has helped has been NOGA, the Northwestern Ohio Gerontological Association. NOGA has tapped a lot of, through its membership, a lot of the local businesses and some corporate people, as well as attorneys, some professionals. And they are their wealth of knowledge and information. So people don't have to look very far. Join NOGA because they will help you as you begin to contemplate retirement. They have a wonderful trust and estate planner as a member of NOGA. They have wonderful experts who've been in the field of aging even longer than I have or as long. So there's just so much talent here in this community that the corporate sector as well as the business sector and seniors in general and families can tap into. And one good place is the Area Office on Aging, first of all, and NOGA, second of all.
Mandatory retirement age. This topic is some industries still have it. I've heard about individuals in the judicial branch. I've heard about individuals in clergy having mandatory retirement ages, and then other industries maybe not mandatory, but subtle encouragements that employers are making of individuals that are older to consider retirement once they reach a certain age. What is your take on whether it be mandatory retirement or that approach that some employers take of encouraging some of its older workers to consider retirement sooner than they might otherwise on their own?
Well, first of all, many of the boards that I have had the privilege of participating and being a member of in this community, when I first joined, they had mandatory retirement at age 70. Fortunately, I was able to, along with others on the board, make policy changes to that effect. You don't judge people by a number. Individuals, if they're 70 or if they're 80 or if they're 90, some are very, very sharp and still have lots to give and lots to contribute. Others may not. So you just don't arbitrarily say at age 70 or at age 65, you've got to get off of this board. You've got to stop working here. And there are still companies who think like that and who believe that. So I call it a very ageist policy, and we should do everything to fight to change it.
Is there anything that we have not discussed that you think may our listeners may want to know or things about retirement that you think might be beneficial to share based on your decades in this field of aging and your experience with retirement?
Well, the one thing that I just want to pass on to everyone is prepare. Be better prepared for retirement so that you can really enjoy it. Whether it's staying at home, traveling, or re-entering the workforce in a second or third career, or going back to school and acquiring new skills and abilities, be better prepared for that and start early thinking about those. Build your plan out. Just as you map out a plan and you navigate all of the and traverse all of the obstacles when you are in the workforce. Think about what you might encounter in retirement and begin to plan and develop a strategy for successful retirement. I think that retirement is, for me, something that has been very good because it's given me an opportunity now to look at other areas that I didn't have time to look at before and try to make life better for our society. I just happen to be wired like that, and I've been given opportunities to make contributions. I don't know exactly what I'll be doing 12 months from now, but I can tell you for sure I'll be doing something that will help society.
And as we close here, one last question. As you have seen retirement change over the decades during your career, as you look forward to the future and what retirement may look like 10 years from now, how do you anticipate retirement changing, or how do you predict retirement will change in the next decade?
Oh, my. That's a great question. Yeah, I think for sure it will change. I think for sure that because we're living so much longer and we're so much healthier and we're full of energy and we are thriving as pre-retirees, that we will work longer. And I think because also of inflation and some of the financial challenges, we will have to work longer. So I see that the workforce will get older. And if it doesn't, I think that individuals might look at, I may leave this particular profession because I want to do something that I always wanted to do and didn't have time to do and move into another profession. But I think overall society will benefit from the older adults who are still very energetic and creative and knowledgeable. Society will benefit from them as a tremendous resource. I fear that some might not want to look at older adults in that light. So I want to encourage them, anyone who's listening, to be open-minded and to look at individuals, not look at numbers, not look at someone who's 70 or 75 or 80. Look at that individual and see what contributions they can make and that they want to make to help us in this society.
Well, thank you, Mrs. Chancellor, for joining this first episode of Living Better and Longer podcast. And thank you for all that you've done to help with my personal and professional development and set me up for success in life. And I appreciate that you also shared that wisdom and your expertise and experience with our listeners today. So thank you so much for being a part of this podcast. And thank you, listeners, for joining the first episode of Living Better and Longer podcast. We hope that you will be living better and longer because of the wisdom that got shared today and the information got shared today. And please join us in our second episode. Thank you.
Thank you for this opportunity.